It's time for the Pestrogen Podcast with your hosts, Jenny and Candace.
Alrighty, welcome back, my pesty besties everywhere. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Pestrogen Podcast. I am your co-host, Jenny, and I'm here with my lovely Candace. Candace, how you doing today?
Not too bad. About halfway through the week, I pulled my trapezius muscle right here. So if you see me doing this a whole lot, it's because it's very sore and tender still, and it feels like my muscle is on fire. So I have been restricted to no heavy lifting by the husband, not a doctor, but whatever.
Yeah.
And same with the kids. Like, Kyra made sure she went with me to the grocery store yesterday because we had to get a case of water and everything. And she's like, don't touch it! Okay, my bad.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. It's been fun. We took Thursday off completely because we were supposed to be doing a huge apartment complex that has, like, this month it would have been like 4 two-story ones and 4 one-story ones apartments. And I was like, I can't web this. The pole will just murder me. So we decided to completely take the day off. And then I felt really bad because we didn't work. So we worked a little bit yesterday. Nothing crazy, but it still hurts, but it'll get better. It will.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's the worst. And it's like where your bra strap goes too. Like,
yep. Strap, backpack strap, and then constantly holding the pole. Cause I hold it down low with my right and up high with my left. So it's constantly like this. And then, the whole muscle runs up the back of your neck. So holding your head up makes it hurt.
That's awful.
It's been fun.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm not used to being broken, so once in a while, I guess it humbles me down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you better listen to your fam and take it easy so you can heal up.
Oh, I have been.
Good. Good. Yeah, I had a super long week with work and just getting home late every single day and just tired. And it's been a long one.
I saw those ones. It was like you were home at like, what, 9, 10 o'clock some nights?
Yeah. It doesn't help that I've got such a long drive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what happens when you live out in bum flip Egypt and then you gotta find the city you want to end up working in, and they're all just an hour away in different directions. So,
oh yeah, that's how it is here. Everything's about a half an hour away, north, east, south. What, you know, west is, well, the ocean. So I don't drive that way, but yeah, everything's like half hour differences everywhere. It's okay.
Oh my gosh, that's awful. But yeah, the decent week overall. I'm excited for this episode. This one's going to be really cool.
Yeah, this is going to be very educational because I have no idea about majority of this.
Mm-hmm. Same. And this was actually Suanne's idea to kick off May for Lyme Disease Awareness Month. So that's awesome. Thank you, Suanne, for the idea. And I think, like Candace said, it's a perfect topic for us because we have no idea.
Well, thank you guys very much for hosting. Definitely. So there's an ongoing meme that goes on social media that I see often. It's kind of like a sweatshirt with a dark face that you can't tell, and says that Lyme disease is faceless until you know somebody who has it. And that is very real. And of course, for us as pest control providers, like, we kind of have a duty to be able to educate people so that they can prevention is the key. And so it's our duty as pest control professionals to be able to prevent ticks from getting into people's properties and homes.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. 100%.
Yes. And then Suanne found somebody to join her today for the episode that has a plethora of knowledge with Lyme disease as well. It's Stacy, how are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm doing well. Thank you, Sue Ann, for inviting me. And thank you, ladies, for letting me join you. Yeah, so May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And there's a saying out there, Sue Ann, I'm sure you've heard it. It says, don't wait until you get it to get it. Because I think we've all heard of it. But like Sue Ann said, unless you've known someone who's lived through it. And so myself and my, you know, husband and my daughter have all been affected by it. And I have to say, overall, when we talk Lyme disease, it's really more than just Lyme disease, because all those little ticks out there have, like, you know, in PA, one bite can give you like five diseases. And some of them don't even have Lyme. Some of them have something called anaplasmosis. And so you're sick, and amongst other things. So you're sick and you go to the doctor and they're testing for Lyme disease, and the Lyme disease tests are not reliable at this point. And if they don't know about anaplasmosis, they're never going to test for that. But this person's, you know, health can be deteriorating. So there's a lot more than just Lyme when we say Lyme disease.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. When I was briefly speaking with Sue Ann the other day, the one that concerns me the most, because it can be transmitted within 15 minutes of attachment. And I'm not here to like instill fear, but awareness. And, you know, we know there's ticks out there. We know they have these diseases. Like, what are you doing to protect yourself? Like, you know, so the Powassan virus, just to give you an idea, can be transmitted within 15 minutes of attachment.
Wow.
The little nymph ticks that you looks like, the, you know, a piece of sand or a freckle, like, can very well go unnoticed. It can be there for 3 days. Mm-hmm. So 15 minutes. So you really want to prevent. Prevention is like the key.
Yes.
So you don't have to get bit in the first place.
And we have had Sue Ann on before, but mm-hmm. Sue Ann, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into treating for ticks for clients.
So I'm Sue Ann, and I own Guardian Mosquito and Tick Control, and we specialize in your outdoor pests. We don't do any indoor treatments, and we really focus on the mosquitoes and ticks. And actually, it's been a recent discovery that mosquitoes now carry the Lyme as well. I know that that's still new in kind of discovery and testing, so I'm not sure what all research has been done, but I do know that that is also another carrier. Primarily, it's the black-footed tick. But so I purchased a business this will be my third summer heading into the third season heading into it. But I've been working in the industry for 10 years and the owner was retiring and I didn't want to live without this service in my yard. And so that's a great reason to buy a business, right?
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah. Right.
So
definitely.
And of course, a lot of my clients have Lyme, and so it's just being a supporter of my clients. We are a local, small, family-owned business, and so you are a person, you're not a number. We cater to your property, what it may need, and Lyme disease awareness adds to that service. So,
yes, absolutely. And then, so Stacy, how did you end up working? And this is a volunteer thing you do, correct?
Yeah. So Stacy mm-hmm. Plord Overcast. Plord, I'm originally from Northern Maine. I moved here in 1994. And I believe I shortly after arriving here was first infected. And it wasn't until 2001 that things really became obvious. There was something wrong. And I was finally diagnosed in 2015, but there's a whole life story in those 14 years where I just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Doctor, I mean, this is the typical, you know, you hear someone with Lyme disease, worst case scenario, the doctors dismiss it, especially once they see any kind of mental illness. Mm-hmm. So you go in as a, you know, 40-year-old crying and you got, you know, some anxiety and depression. Well, all my fatigue was dismissed as depression. And I will just say, like, yes, there was times that got really dark and there's days where, you know, you might feel, oh, woe is me. But when you're sick, your body's depressed and it's so easy to be upset. And the doctors are not properly educated right now, which is the big, real problem when someone goes to them. And so year after year after year, and I would change doctors thinking, well, this guy's going to figure it out and this girl's going to figure it out. And so all my extra problems were chopped up as anxiety. I'm sure someone had me label as a hypochondriac, but in the meantime, I literally was dying. I mean, by the time we figured out what all was going on, many strains of Lyme, tick-borne relapsing fever, Bartonella, Babesia, Mycoplasma, my Epstein-Barr was through the roof. I had cytomegalovirus. Like when your immune system is under siege like that, there are things that we have inside of us that we may not be aware of that take full advantage of your immune system being bombarded. Mm-hmm. And they will come out and play. Like Epstein-Barr, I had mono really bad when I was 19, and I didn't realize you really never get rid of the virus. And if down the road you start getting stressed out or overtired, well, it can come back activated. So a lot of people with Lyme have a lot of problems with Epstein's, you know, Barr virus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time I figured out what was going on, my list was like, where's the camera? You know, and I couldn't believe it. Like, are you kidding me? There's a reason I had all the, like, really? It had all this stuff. And then I got quickly very angry when I realized that all these problems I had had for all these years was because I had an infection. Like, couldn't someone have tested me? You know, so long story short, I ended up through my own research figuring out that I needed a Lyme literate doctor. There's a certain things, if you pull nothing away from this, Lyme literate doctor, Lyme literate healthcare practitioner, Lyme literate, they have learned what the diseases are, how to treat them, what they look like, the complications of having two or three at the same time, because it becomes so hard. I mean, I was more or less bedridden for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm able to even do anything like this today blows my mind. And, it's just a tribute that, yes, you can get better. I still struggle, but I'm doing this. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. But we found out that my daughter, I don't have proof, but that my daughter, according to my symptoms, how long I've probably had it, her systems, et cetera, all the Lyme professionals we've met with agree that she was born with it. Mm-hmm. And what that looked like was, you know, as a child, she had some GERD, reflux, whatever. Okay, we changed our Similac formula. And then she, you know, as she was getting older, she started having night terrors. That was a little concerning and weird. If you don't know what they are, they're like nightmares while you're sleepwalking, sort of. Mm-hmm. And then as she got older, she started getting more anxiety and depression. And this poor kid, she couldn't regulate her temperature. She would come home crying every day from school. And I ended up taking her out after third grade. But again, testimony that you can get better. She's 16 now. She's thriving. She's, you know, in a high school band at the high school, which, again, blows my mind that we're able to do these things. So for me, it was just like, people need to know. Like, mm-hmm. People need to know. And unfortunately, I mean, okay, I was diagnosed in 2015. Things have changed. You guys have heard at least of Lyme disease. You know, mm-hmm. That ticks have diseases. I would at least hope you know that, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
But not much has changed. Mm-hmm. Not much has changed. So at PA, I have to say, you know, at Pennsylvania Lyme Resource Network, PALyme.org, it's all volunteers. It's all people who have been infected by, our lives have been impacted, just like myself. And we are just out here trying to do what we can to educate the public, to educate doctors, to educate, you know, whoever will listen. We have a conference coming up next month in June, where we're going to be having, it's an association with ILADS. ILADS is International Lyme and Associated Diseases Association, I believe. And we're going to be educating the medical professionals. So if anyone is in PA, they can totally invite them to go to that seminar. everything is on our website, palyme.org. Right when you open it up, it talks about the seminar that we have for doctors. And please let them know. But yeah, so the Dare to Be Tick Aware is a whole seminar, a whole program that is available free to the public that goes through, especially in PA, you know, goes through all the ticks that are in PA, all the diseases that they carry, what the diseases look like when you start getting them. What do you do if you find a tick on you? And then what do you do, you know, which doctor, all that kind of stuff. So that's something I would highly suggest someone try to take advantage of, the Dare to Be Tick Aware. But on our website, again, all those brochures, all that information is there. So there's a lot just on the website. And while I'm talking websites, if it's okay, I don't want to be rambling here, but ILADS.org would be another place to go. There's LymeDisease.org. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, the more information we can get out there to people, the better.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes. Thanks, Sue, for inviting me. And yes, for getting, like you get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the only thing that I like knew about Lyme disease was the whole like bullseye marking. Now, is that like a every person type of thing? Or
absolutely not.
Okay.
If it is positive diagnosis for Lyme, though, if someone sees that, and we still have people today will go in with a tick, with a bullseye rash to their doctor. The doctor will like throw it in the garbage and say they're fine. And that's where it stops. And then years later, this person can't understand why they can't remember how to drive home, or why they're even in the car to begin with, or why they can't walk now, or why they can't hear or see. Or I mean, at my worst, just to give you an idea, like, and again, I'm not trying to, at my worst, I couldn't walk. I would walk into the wall, or I literally, like, you know, so dizzy you're going to pass out. So walking was difficult. Talking was difficult. I would slur, or I just couldn't get my mouth to pronounce, like I couldn't talk. Seeing, my vision probably changed daily. It was like you woke up every day not knowing what was going to happen that day. And some days you would have a pain in your elbow, like a sharp stabbing pain in your elbow. And then the next day you'd wake up and it would be sharp stabbing pain in your big toe. And the next day would be in your brain. And then it was your heart. And it's a multi-system disease. So the things can happen throughout your whole entire body. The Lyme is a spirochete, which is like shaped like a corkscrew, and it literally can drill through your bones and your brain. And so it's everywhere, and people can have it in their system and be relatively okay. You know, if your immune system is robust and you're, you know, especially I will just throw in there, you know, drinking filtered water and trying to eat, you know, organic or non-GMO, like trying to stay away from the toxins, watching the Wi-Fi exposure, you know, we all have heavy metals. Like there's all this. So depending on that person, and trauma is a big one. Like a lot of people who've had trauma in their lifetime, it has really affected their ability to heal. Mm-hmm. And so when someone becomes really, really sick, the complexities of trying to get that person back to health can be very, so very difficult. Mm-hmm. So very difficult.
Oh yeah. So minus the bullseye thing, obviously, like you said, it can get dismissed completely. How else, like, do doctors actually diagnose it? Is there like a blood test for it or anything like that?
Well, sure. But they're not reliable right now. At best, you can have, false positives and false negatives. So someone can go to the doctor, get a test for Lyme disease, and the test didn't test for the specific strain that they had, the test, the lab they used wasn't sensitive enough to detect it. Like it might be there. And then there's certain tests that go by bands, which I would always advise IGENX. That would be my recommendation, and to take those results to a Lyme literate doctor, because the Lyme test that they're using now, and I'm going to forget the technicalities. They talk about it in this movie, The Quiet Epidemic, about how they took out some of the Lyme bands out of the testing because they're using for the vaccine. So let's say Lyme, I'm forgetting the numbers. It might 31 might be one. There's like four, and I should have prepared, but let's say 31 is one. I'm just making up a number right now. Mm-hmm. And they took it out of the test, but that it's showing up on 31, but they're never going to see it. Right. So okay. iGenX has all the bands, but then it'll still come back if they don't have five positive bands, according to CDC, that's a negative. But if it's on a band, it's there. Like, it's there. My daughter was diagnosed by a Lyme litter medical doctor, actually an osteopath. And he just looked at it for 2 seconds. He's like, it's right there. And I had been fighting for a year to get her diagnosed. I'm like, I know she has it. I had it. She's got all these symptoms. They're like, no. It says she don't have it. Well, according to the Lyme doctor, he could just look at it and it actually showed inconclusive on one of the bands. And he said, if it wasn't there, it would be negative. There's something there. And again, when you look at all the symptoms and everything else, so Lyme literate doctors are the ones that I would recommend to go to. Your regular medical professionals, how I understand it at this time, learned that Lyme is hard to get and easy to treat. And the opposite is the truth. And that's, you know, that's part of the big problem. And there, when you go to a medical doctor, and I'm not trying to talk bad about them by any means, we need them, right? But something like this, okay, so yes, they follow IDSA. They follow IDSA, and they would probably give someone 2 weeks of doxycycline, according to the IDSA. A Lyme literate doctor who follows ILADS would probably give 6 to 8 weeks of doxycycline. And I'm not a medical professional. I'm not telling you how to treat and all that stuff. But there's going to be a big difference between what a medical doctor has learned and how they're going to treat versus, a Lyme literate healthcare practitioner. But we would strongly recommend, getting treatment right away, because what happens is, and I forget how long it takes, it might be 2 weeks, might be a month, might be too long. While it's in the bloodstream, you're better able to eradicate it, because once it starts going into hiding, that's where it turns chronic. And even if there's just one spirochete, I remember when I was learning all this stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, because like they don't need a partner. So you could like get rid of all of them. There's this like one guy hanging around and then he starts multiplying, you know.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And so Lyme disease has the bullseye. Bartonella is probably just as common, honestly, if not more common, because Bartonella is known to come from tick bites, but also flea bites, cat scratches. And it has like a stretch mark that doesn't follow regular stretch markings. I know someone who was diagnosed by their psychiatrist because they saw the markings. It was in there. The Bartonella is real bad for mental illness. So you put that on top of with the Lyme. There's something called Lyme rage and Bartonella rage. And, and then Rocky Mountain spotted fever has a little spotted, kind of like a bracelet and or an anklet. You'll see spots. Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Okay. That's cool.
Is more on your side of the country than ours for the Rocky Mountain spotted. So
yeah, we were actually just talking with my son about that yesterday, because he was walking through the woods with his friend and said he found a tick on him. So we were like, did it bite you? Did it, you know, was it buried in? And he was like, no, I felt it crawling up me and then just kind of pushed it away. And he was like telling us how big it was. So I'm like, oh, lovely. I'm doing an episode on ticks and Lyme disease tomorrow. So yay.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's, somebody posted in our local Facebook group for where I'm at right now. And she was like, I just moved into a house and the yard is full of ticks. What do I do? And of course there's like, there's dozens of like home remedies people do, and
always. Like
somebody said diatomaceous earth. Like, what do you do? Take a whole bag of diatomaceous earth on a half an acre of land and
stick it.
Yeah, like I don't. Yeah, exactly. So Sue-Ann, do you ever get people calling you primarily for ticks? Like, I just moved to this yard and it's full of ticks. Come help.
So Pennsylvania has quickly rising to one of the top issues for tick diseases out of all the 50 states. So yes, I do. And I will often get a call that, hey, I found a tick on my dog. Need you to come treat. What do I do? Or that they found one on themselves. So that is a big driver of sales for us. And of course, we go out, we assess the property just like we do. And I know when I talked with the mosquito, I really prefer not to do as much or as limited chemicals as we have to put into the environment. Mm-hmm. But I also will tell people, so I offer a all natural mosquito spray. I won't guarantee it with a money back guarantee because it really just repels. Mm-hmm. I will not offer an all natural tick spray. And I tell people that the risk of getting one of these diseases from a tick outweighs the risk that you're going to have with the pesticide that we utilize in our spray. Mm-hmm. I do use a natural base. So we do use cedar oil, but we go out after we assess and I will try to make improvements. And I know people in our area, we have really unique and some very large rural properties. If you can put, and we all love to have campfires. That's a common thing in our area. Wood piles are a prime place for ticks, but put it at the edge of your property, not next to your patio. And now it's more of a nuisance to have to go get the wood to bring it, but then you're keeping them away from your core area that you're utilizing, mm-hmm. compost piles. And I am a composter. So but again, keep it away from your home, directly around your home to be able to, if you have a wooded area, putting a barrier between your wooded area to your home, like a layer of stone, about 3 foot wide will help prevent the tick environment for your yard. It just kind of creates that extra barrier on top of the spray that we use. But then we will come out and we will treat your property and assess the areas like the wood piles and things like that. And we will treat the areas that the ticks like to live and breed. And that's really what we do. I just found out, and I thought this was really cool, just recently in the last week or so, and something I'm going to look into. So, and of course, I use cedar oil in my blend for my tick spray to be able to utilize it, but they make cedar mulch. And so that would, in a sense, help prevent the tick population in your yard. Keeping your trees and trim, shrubbery all trimmed back, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like lack of moisture, just like with the mosquitoes. Lack of moisture. They like to have that moist, like your leaves. Make sure you clean your leaves up in your yard. That's a big, big one.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay.
Now, so this is cool because we have like how to help prevent them with Suan, what it can do to you if you actually contract it with Stacy. So we got like the all around everything knowledge here.
Yeah, definitely. I sent Candace a picture and I think I put it on LinkedIn or something, but I was getting in my truck and there was a tick climbing up my seat. And I used a glue board to swipe it off real quick. And I looked at it. I'm like, oh, no. And I sent it to Candace. And Candace is like, pull over now. Check yourself. Like, yeah. I was like, oh
yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Cause
yeah, it was like, find a bathroom, a porta potty, something. And
strip down.
Go look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, look definitely. Now.
Yes. I always get the heebie-jeebies when I find one on myself. And we are avid hikers. I love the outdoors. I love to be out the outdoors. So, of course, prevention is key. So we don't go outdoors. Of course, long socks that come up, good sturdy shoes, long pants, long sleeves. I always spray myself when we go out. I do wear shorts. I'm guilty. But then as soon as we come home, and we take our dogs out regularly too, we budget when we go hiking, we come home, we shower. So we completely change clothes. We check everybody out. We check our dogs out. And this is going to be a little bit TMI maybe, but like dogs in their teeth, in their gums, like you really, ticks can hide anywhere. And they like those little tiny crevices in your ears. You figure behind people's ears, things like that, in your personal areas, armpits, places you don't want to really talk about. But that is what you need to do to totally check your body completely. when you come home, and we shower, we bathe the dogs and everything when we come home. And something that I found out, and this really frustrated me. So of course I treat my dogs for ticks. They take mm-hmm. that annual or that monthly tablet that we do just to be as preventative. And my dog had a tick. So of course I treat my yard. I treat my dog. And my dog still got a tick. So I am like really frustrated because I'm doing everything I need to be doing. But I found out that oral medication does not prevent them from being bitten. It actually kills the tick within 24 hours after attaching. So, of course, doing your due diligence and finding it to remove it from your dog is going to avoid the 15-minute rule for the other virus. But that kind of deters me from wanting to even treat my dogs because I feel like it's effective, but it's just not as effective as I would have thought that was. So it doesn't prevent your dog from getting ticks. It kills them in the 24-hour window. And of course, right. they fall off after that happens. So yeah, I thought that was pretty useful information when I found that out I guess it's been a couple years ago. My dog turns, today's his actual birthday. He turns 4 today. And he was about 6 months old when we had our first tick on him. So...
Aww. Can I add a few things to that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back to you found a tick on you. Sue Ann, I know you know this because you went through the whole thing, but the best thing to do if you find a tick is to remove it. Time is of the essence. They make special tick removers, but you can always use, not toothpicks, Stacey.
Tweezers.
Yes, thank you. And tweezers, you know, you lose them, you can buy them again. The problem is if it's a nymph tick, a really, really small one. I had a camp nurse tell me that her tweezers just smooshed the tick and there was nothing, because you want to send that tick in to be tested. So you want to remove it as soon as you can. Don't squish it. Don't twist it. Don't put anything on it. Don't put, you know, some people will want to put essential oils or just... get the tick as close to your skin as possible and slowly pull up and it will pop off, and then clean that area very well. Put it in a small plastic bag. You can put it in your freezer with a little cotton ball to keep it moist. Go online. Ticklab.org is one of them in PA. It's free for residents in PA. And there's other ones and I'm forgetting right now, but you could find them.
And DNA Connections with an X is a national lab that does them. So I was at a tick conference or a Lyme disease conference, and they handed out these cute little ticks that are to be able to clean your cell phones and devices.
So and remind you.
I'm always able to remember what that is because, of course, it's on my little.
Right.
Perfect. Cute.
But sending the tick in. Because the tests are so difficult and the doctors are unaware, at least when you get the results back, you know what that tick may have transmitted to you. And then if it says it has nothing, then you cannot worry. You don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to just real quick show you some of the products. So permethrin is something we would always recommend. We use this monthly on our shoes. It lasts about 4 to 6 weeks. If you spray it yourself, you can spray your clothes, but not yourself. This is toxic. It's toxic to cats. You can spray it on your dog's, your dog bed. So if the dog comes in from the outside and he goes on the bed, because this will kill the ticks. So we spray our shoes monthly with that. And then you could also spray your socks. There's a company, InsectShield.com. I don't know if you can see InsectShield.com. You can buy clothes that are treated with permethrin, or you can send your clothes away. And that way, when it's treated, like in the wash, when it's treated, it lasts, I think it's 52 washes, a lot longer than 4 to 6 weeks. So like my husband's a hunter. I sent all of his hunting clothes away. That way, if he lays down in a tick nest, he's not getting bit or bringing the ticks home. And then we would also recommend, in addition to like Sue Ann said, with the long sleeve shirt and the long this and the long that, and she talked about spray, there's some natural sprays. This is lemon eucalyptus, cedar oil for your body too. I know you mentioned for the yard. And then you can get more into like this has DEET. I personally am not a fan. And then Picardin, Avon Skin So Soft has a Picardin option. So, and then like Sue Ann said, she said, when you come back home, she changes clothes, which is awesome. But if you put your clothes in the dryer on high heat for 10 minutes, if there's ticks on those clothes, it will kill them.
Oh, that's awesome.
There, that's what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Yeah, we just come home, we shower and do all that, but I will add that to my regimen.
Yes, so. High heat, 10 minutes.
That's what that's we do awesome. After a bed bug job.
Oh,
let's see. Go to the dryer.
They look like ticks, bed bugs do, so
yeah.
I'm not shocked that there's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it completely makes sense.
Yes. Yes. Transmission was a question while I'm thinking about it. I'll just throw that in there because you mentioned about the mosquitoes and there's controversy all around sometimes, but there are some that would say that they're in potentially all biting insects. There are people that would argue there's no scientific proof, but you know, the mosquitoes are nature's dirty little needles. So why wouldn't it? That's all I'm going to say. Why wouldn't it? Yeah. I have had people, say they got it from a black fly up in Maine. So it potentially is in other insects. And then again, my daughter was born with it. There is proof now showing, I believe it is in vitro and breastfeeding, that people can pass it on to their children. And so it becomes a dilemma because, right? So the person doesn't even know they have Lyme. Not everybody gets sick. Their immune system might be keeping up with it or whatever. And then this poor child was born with it and the parent has no idea, right? They didn't even know they had it or that you could pass something like that on. The other thing is it has been found in Lyme is all but syphilis. Like there's one little thing that makes it not syphilis. Syphilis is a spirochete. It's known for being transmitted sexually. So with the Lyme, it has been found in vaginal secretions and in semen. Mm-hmm. So then I don't think there's any concrete proof. There may be, I'm not aware of it, so I'm not saying yes, but logically speaking, there's also a situation where someone in the family may have Lyme and then the whole family ends up with Lyme. The argument could be that they're living in the same environment, but it just leaves it, okay, is there something else going on? So,
right. That's interesting. That mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought of it like that. I just always think of it as being transmitted through a tick, not in vitro or breastfeeding or anything else.
Mm-hmm. So with what I do for pest control, I have to crawl under like pine trees and stuff a lot for rodent bait stations. Does anybody know like how you would protect? I'm always worried about getting them on my head, but there's nothing like, I feel like there's nothing I can do.
You could spray your hat with the permethrin.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And use a natural oil maybe for your face. Anything natural, you're going to need to reapply it.
Yeah.
You know, but there mm-hmm. are, yeah. And then check. Lint rollers,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh. like you, yeah. On your dog, Sue Ann, the dog comes in, run that over them or on your body or.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah.
That is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I should keep one of those in my car anyways, to just get all the dog hair off of me. Two dogs and three cats. Luckily, none of them have ever had a tick, but, yeah, the hair is astronomical sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So are there like different stages of Lyme disease? Like how would they differ if there is any?
So when someone's first infected, the most common symptoms, you just feel like you have the flu. So you're tired and your body hurts and, the way I was explained is there is no such thing as summer flu. So mm-hmm. if you're feeling like you have the flu in the summer, think tick diseases at least. But yeah, so in the beginning, you kind of just feel like that. But then as it goes, that's where you start seeing like the Bell's palsy or the swollen knee is a common Lyme symptom. And then it goes into like, you know, the joint or the heart, and everyone's different. Not everyone's going to have all these same symptoms. For me, it attacked my nervous system. I know other people, it attacked their heart. For other people, it's their joints. But what happens is the longer you've had it, because it literally is going everywhere, it's called the great imitator. Syphilis mm-hmm. was originally the great imitator. Now it's Lyme's the great imitator because it literally could be anything. It mm-hmm. literally could be anything. I mean, reflux could be from Lyme, and I don't know, of course, the fatigue and the pain, a lot of pain, and for a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so you don't feel good, you're tired, your joints ache. A lot of people are just going to dismiss that as like old age or I don't feel too good and just move on. And it may not be a problem. And for me, what happened where I said I was bedridden, I had a car accident. So I was already struggling and I had a child and I was really sick after I had her. And then I had a car accident where I had I hit my head, you know, and it activated it all. And that's for me. So someone else can have it. And then maybe they're in an accident or, you know, people got COVID or they get another bite and it's just that one bite it's just that one thing that sets their immune system to the point that it can't keep up. And,
Wow.
So it could like, you could have it and it could be hiding. And then that one little small thing happens that seems small, like you said, like a head bump, and it can just like essentially like dislodge it. And there it goes.
It comes awake. It activates. I'm not sure. And you know, yeah. There's something I was going to say, but yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, like I said, like this is completely all new information for me. Like I said, I knew of like the bullseye. I never even realized like what it actually did, like to the extent that you've been talking about. That's crazy. Right. Like, good on you for, like you said, for like being here and doing this. That's awesome that you've been able to swim.
Most people don't even get the bullseye. So that is actually, it's a good telltale sign, but it is rare in most cases of people that I've talked to that have Lyme.
Yeah, they have no idea. Can I take a second to explain how they can be attached that you don't even know that they're there? So they have something in their saliva that has where you can't feel it.
Yeah.
It numbs the area.
Whatever that word is. So they secrete that so you don't feel it. They slice into the body. They stick in their feeding tube that's barred like a fish hook. Some of them have a concrete-like substance that they'll secrete, and then that thing is there. So if it's in an area that you're not seeing, there's no, you know, it's not hard to understand why it can go 3 days undetected, because it'll stay there until it's full and then just jump off, and now it's in your house somewhere, which is beyond disturbing to me. So if someone is in a situation where they think they may have been infected in an area where there were ticks, you know, come home, do, you know, take your shower, do your tick check, put your clothes in jar, do all that stuff, but check again the next day and the next day, because if it's a little tiny baby thing, the next day it's getting bigger and bigger, and maybe you'll see it the third day, right? Which is terrible, but at least you found it, and then send it in to be tested. And I would actually go to the doctor. I would take a picture of it. Some people will, you know, put a little magic marker circle around the bite mark, then monitor it. But I wouldn't wait just because I know what I know. But yeah.
You're going to have that conference out there in PA to help educate doctors, but how could we promote education and awareness for Lyme disease other than that, like in our own communities?
Yeah. So obviously it's all, you know, volunteer hard work type of stuff, but getting out to the doctors, I can show you on, it's ILADS, ILADEF.org, ILAD Educational Foundation.org. I just printed off this flyer. And it's something like, let's say, you know, there's some doctors that you think you'd like them to learn more. I mean, you could always pass on the information that they can learn more, because all the really good Lyme doctors learn from ILADS. So that's one option. You know, with PA Lyme, we'll do table events. We have a table, we go out with pamphlets and you know, so, and again, this is an effort. So, but if someone wants to, do something like that, another thing we do is, Sue Ann, did you come to this one in Chambersburg?
I don't think I did.
So we did a showing, and we do them all throughout the state of Pennsylvania, the Quiet Epidemic. I believe you can get this now on YouTube. And the older movie was called Under Our Skin. And these are things like, we'll do showings for the public, but, you know, send out press releases and flyers and stuff and have people come and watch this video, if, watch it.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're learning things, you're going to learn a lot more, and it'll just reiterate the things we're talking about today. So there's things you can do. Contact your legislators, let them know that you're aware that there's a problem. They just recently cut the funding, right? Because they're cutting all the funding. But Center for Lyme Action is another place that people can join for advocating, learning things, and also to help raise funds. There's just not enough funding for all the research that needs done and all the education. That's what else could you do?
There's a couple things I know to add. So there's two different social media challenges, and we have Guardian Mosquito and Tick Control have been active in both of those. I haven't done one yet this year. I do usually really try to do a big push for them in May just because it's Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And I donate a portion of my tick sales during the month of May to the PA Lyme Resource Network each year. So, but you can do a Lyme challenge, which is really cool. So it's you take a bite of a lime, you record it, you tag two other friends in it, and you tag them to do the lime challenge too. Of course, then the big thing is your funny face when you bite into a lime, which is pretty sour. But so that's out on YouTube on my Guardian Mosquito and Tick Challenge page. I have done that. And I have a couple people that have done that that have been added to that page as well. So that's one big social media that's a good way to raise awareness. And then the PA Tick Resource Network, they have a dance, I think, that's a social media challenge too, to be able to do the dance and then share it with people. And so that's another great way to be able to raise awareness on a fun level.
Yes. Thank you, Sue Ann, for that. Tick check.
Yes.
I love that.
It's cool. Check it out.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to check that out. That's cool.
Do it.
And you have to check out my sour face on eating the lime too, because I'm on YouTube.
That's awesome.
You're famous. No.
Right? I just discovered TikTok. You know I'm going to be doing this.
Oh, yes, that would be great.
Yes.
And if you do those, forward it to PA Lyme, because we'll put it on our website and our YouTube. And
awesome. Yeah. That'd be so cool.
And just like there's PA Lyme, I know that Florida has something similar. So I'm sure each state in the state has a Lyme program. So when we were on a couple weeks ago with the mosquito, we had Francis from Nigeria on. And of course, malaria is their biggest epidemic that they have here. So the United States, we don't have as many cases of malaria. And often when we do, it's somebody who's traveled to that area. But ticks and Lyme are our number one insect that spreads things in the United States. So,
I just had a thought before I forget. We were talking about Lyme literate doctors, because that's what you would need. And how do you find one? Like in PA, you can email referral at palyme.org or go online. But you guys have people throughout the country here, so I would recommend, or actually, I should say, I learned this from Roxanne. I think I forget her last name. She's from Chronic Lyme, It's a Thing. And, but she would recommend, you know, always joining a support group. And in PA Lyme, we say join a support group, because we can help you find those doctors. You don't just Google them. You don't just look them up. You're not going to find them that way. Some are under the radar. So joining a support group not only will help you learn some of this stuff like you're learning today, and then having other people help you through it, but then finding the right doctors. And every doctor is different, just like every doctor is different everywhere. So like there's some that will treat with like pharmaceuticals, and there's some that, you know, more natural type of treatments. Like I did pharmaceuticals and I was getting sick in a different way. So I switched to all natural. Anyway.
Okay.
I would wonder how many pest control providers have had Lyme.
Oh,
that would be an interesting research to be able to try to,
that would be,
to target, just because of the exposure.
Yeah. Because I mean, like we're in it a lot, like out there, you know, obviously not in it, but you know, we're out there and just doing our job, not paying attention, you know, to like, if you're walking through that little bit higher of grass or anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our customers do not always have the ideal prevention.
No.
Right.
Well, awareness is everything, right? How can you protect when you don't even know it's a danger? I mean, some of the ticks, they'll do, like you said, there's hang out in the tall grass and they kind of quest and they wait for you. But the other ones, they'll come. They can walk for 50 feet towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to joke. I was like, you know, it's one thing to be all prepared and it's another thing to go like insectshield.com. One of my favorite defenses, I have a blanket that was treated with permethrin. And if I go somewhere, I put it down on the lawn and then put my lawn chair on, because how do I know I'm not just hanging out minding my business and there's this tick that comes
in
my...
That's a great idea. Yeah. I didn't even think about treating the blanket.
Yeah. Plus, you can do like a bandana for your dog, right? Put it around his neck or something or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Insectshield.com, ticklab.org, paline.org. Hi, lads.
Awesome.
Guardian.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just joking.
Let's see.
Okay, so what changes would you like to see in how, like, Lyme disease is discussed more openly or even, like, treated or even, like, on the scope of, hey, this what is, you know, could be what's wrong with you instead of, oh, well, you don't have the bullseye mark, so that's not what you have.
It goes back to the doctors, you know. Mm-hmm. Some doctors know and some doctors don't. And we've been trying. I think different states, and this is where I'm not the expert. Different states are different when it comes to awareness of two areas of education or two, what's the word? Hold on. Two schools of thought.
Okay.
And if you go to the doctor, they'll say, well, this is, you know, what IDSA is, you know, they'll give them 2 weeks of doxy or something and say, this is the IDSA's way of school of thought. And they'll say, but there's another school of thought with ILADS where you would get longer treatment or something like that. So some states are aware of that. And then, but PA is not one of them.
Okay.
So it makes it extra hard because I think, yeah, we've been number one for 11 of the last 12 years with diagnosis.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. I Googled that like before this episode. I was thinking of questions and stuff, and it said PA was one of the highest states with it. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know, so I, on a personal level, I came here from Northern Maine, and I'm seeing Maine turn into PA almost. Like it's just, and it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard because the information that they're getting isn't all this information that I have now. So
yeah,
it's a lot of work to do.
Right. And then
so I would like to add to what you had said. So I think, and this kind of correlates with something else that I want to put a shout out to. So you had mentioned a couple times how you were diagnosed maybe with mental health issues. So May, of course, is also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
And so just kind of tying the awareness and breaking the stigma. So we have to just be able to be open to talk about it, talk about some of the symptoms and share what we know.
You are exactly right. Anyway, in my previous life, I sold insurance and we had to talk about some things. And I was very open about it because this is from ILADS about psychiatric Lyme. And it says right on here that sometimes the only symptom someone will get is anxiety and depression. So if it comes out of nowhere, that's a good indication. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Sue Ann. You're right on the money there. May is also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
I love that.
So we got to break the stigma. We got to be able to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And talk about, you know, going to doctors and trying to get help. And then they make you feel like they gave me anxiety and depression, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be hard to have something that isn't tangible. Like you didn't break your arm, here, fix this. It's something inward that's hard to explain, but you feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if testing's not 100%. I mean, no testing is 100%, but obviously a lot of them are a lot more pinpoint. But if this one's not even really close, then like you said, you can have a lot of false positives and false negatives. So then you're going to be like, this is what I think I have. And they're going to be like, well, the test says that you don't. So you don't. Bye.
And that's what happens. And a good doctor can diagnose clinically based on, have you been exposed? Well, if you live in PA or, you know, most, mm-hmm. some of the countries, yeah, you've been exposed. And then do you have symptoms? And some doctors will treat based on that. And I know from my early research that I did, like, that was the thing. If you react to treatment, then, well, guess what? You got it. Like, that was your diagnosis. But
yeah, that's awesome. That some providers will just treat knowing that the testing isn't for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you have especially like you said, being in PA and stuff, you have that higher risk and you're starting to show symptoms. But yeah, the test doesn't say it, but yeah, let's treat just to be on the safer side. So yeah, now does it like stay with you together? It's not cured, right? It just stays with you forever.
No, but I do need to add that we would still say go find a Lyme literate doctor who can test you and read the test. And so that way, you know, for sure. Yeah. I mean, anyway, what did you just ask?
Does Lyme disease like get cured from treatment, or is it just you're like holding, you know, down the symptoms?
Never say never, but it is more just keeping the symptom, keeping the population of the bacteria under control. Okay. Some of the people I know, like myself, like I have not stopped treating in one way, shape or form for 10 years now.
Okay. There are some people who I've experienced just in the path that they catch it very early on, and so they are able to target it, and then they don't have the lasting effects. But I know a lot of people who have chronic Lyme. So there, I guess there's two different, there is Lyme and then there's chronic Lyme. So just think about like COVID and how some people have COVID and some people have long COVID. I mean, so similar type of thing. This can be a chronic disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Absolutely. And then, so me, myself, Stacy, and Sue-Ann, we're all in the same time zone. So we're kind of on the same side of the country. And then Candace is on the other side of the country. So we have a podcast big brother, who we call Sean Muller of Pest Perspectives, and he lives in the UK. So I'm going to give him a call so he can be on our episode for a quick second. And we're going to ask him a tick question. And here he is. Here's our Sean Muller from Pest Perspectives.
Hi, Sean.
How are we doing?
We're doing
good. On the podcast, by the
looks of it. Yeah.
I finally got on the podcast.
Yeah.
You well, made it.
We have a question for you, Sean. So do you treat for ticks in the UK?
You can treat for ticks, but in my particular area, I haven't actually treated for ticks.
Okay.
But I know what to do. We do treat for ticks.
Okay. Do you know anybody with Lyme disease? Is it common there that you know of?
I don't know of it, but I can imagine there's been a few cases, but I don't know of any.
Okay.
Because it's in the water, isn't it? It could be quite common, but I've not actually heard of it.
Okay.
I haven't.
All right. Yeah, me and Candace have learned a lot on today's episode too about Lyme disease. So
yes,
I need to watch it then.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Especially since.
I imagine if you Googled it, there's probably quite a few cases that have happened. Just I don't know about them.
Right, that's I'm all. Sure. Yeah. All right. Well thank you for bombing us. Yeah. Go ahead, Sue-Ann. Sorry.
I was just going to say that's wonderful that you don't have that because it's an epidemic in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. She said, I forgot you're in my ears. She said it's wonderful that you guys don't have it because it's an epidemic over here, especially in PA.
Well, tell her that there might be some cases if you Google it. I just don't specifically know about it.
Gotcha. Yes. All right. Well, thank you for bombing our podcast here. But everyone, check out Sean Muller on Pest Perspectives. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Cheers for that.
Right.
See you later.
Bye.
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 Bye. Yeah, shout out from the UK.
That's cool to really get like cool a completely different country's perspective.
That's right. What I was just going to say, Candace. It's really great that we're able to tie in how other countries interact with things. So
yeah,
some of the things we face, they don't, and likewise, some of the things they face, we don't experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have one last thing that I want to add, and this is really as a pest control perspective. So we didn't really talk about one of the major carriers, and the white-footed mouse is the number one carrier of Lyme disease, and the black-footed tick that spreads Lyme disease. So, and this is something that I educate my clients about. I don't do rodent control as a pest control professional, but controlling the rodent population is just as big of an issue to help cut down this as an issue. I recently just spoke with Chris from, I'm trying to remember I think it's Lime Shield. And so the company that he does, sells a product that targets the mice and is actually a vaccine to prevent mice from getting Lyme. And so by doing that, they're stopping the cycle of the tick then getting. So, of course, the black-legged tick will feed on our white-tailed deer. They feed on people. But in the nymph phase, they prefer the white-footed mouse. And people don't realize, I mean, you have mice in almost every home. They are so easily to be able to get in, access, and they are the biggest spreader, really, and a pest control professional. So we have to be able to cut down the rodent population.
Now, how do they spread it? Like through their urine and feces?
Well, so the tick feeds on them to be able to come from a nymph to an adult tick in the process from when they lay eggs, that small, the nymph phase of the tick, they feed on the white-footed mouse. And so
thinking you meant spread like from the mouse to the human, like how we get it from ticks. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was wondering.
So after they feed and fall off and then continue their cycle until they become the adult tick. And then that's when they feed on the white-tailed deer and they feed on us. And that's how it gets spread. So
makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sue Ann, have you heard of tick tubes?
I have. I actually use them. So I have a couple customers who their population, and even just in the between the sprays, sometimes this, because I have a couple farms and that is just a prime, they have field mice. And so we do the tick tubes on their property just to be able to contain the tick population on their field mice. So in an area that I'm not going to do the rodent control on a farm, I'm not really sure it's practical to do rodent control. So,
right.
And just to explain, the tick tubes are, you can make them yourself, PVC pipe or toilet paper roll. Just be careful where you put it so don't get wet. And then you can take cotton or dryer lint and spray it with the permethrin. And then put the cotton ball stuff inside the tube. And then, like she said, put them throughout. So the mice will take that and then bring it to his den and use it to make his nest. And then, so it'll kill the ticks that are in their nest and then on the mice. But yeah, so like people think the deer are spreading the Lyme. The deer actually don't transmit or get sick with Lyme themselves, apparently. But obviously they're a host. So, you know, they're feeding a lot of the ticks, but yes, it's the mouse,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, often when you get a tick in your house, it's come in from a mouse. So,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of hard not to get a mouse in your house when you live in the country.
Oh, yeah. Even in the city, I mean, we're fighting them out of houses all the time.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's why I was like, that's why we've got jobs. <'Cause>
Yeah.
We take care of the ticks and the mice. And
we're thankful for all of you. Yes. And yeah, I don't think you're ever going to want to do a job. Like, I think there's always going to be work for you.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Candace, do you have your Tumblr that you got in the mail? Yes. We wanted to show off our Tumblr.
I love those. Are you guys going to sell them possibly?
No, we got this from SpanglerArt.com, Mr. Tony Spangler and his beautiful wife, Leanne. He made this for us, did a quick mock-up. We loved it. We wanted it. We got it.
Yes.
But anything that you can think of, I mean, you can do like you know, all your organizations for your Lyme disease awareness and stuff like that. Because these are conversation starters. You bring it somewhere and people will be like, oh my God, that's so cute. Where'd you get that? Well, let me tell you about it. We have one that my husband will carry around that has very common insects around for us. Just so he can, like, you know, see a little bit more blown up picture. Like, this is what you have, this, you know. But they're awesome. And they're detailed graphics. They're amazing. I mean, those are actual real pictures, obviously. They're not cartoons or anything. But, yeah, the complete mock-up design, me and Jenny love. It's got lots of watercolors in it and all the beauty. Anything you can think of, Tony can make it for you. It's spanglerart.com. So stay cute, stay you, and stay hydrated.
Yes.
So I know Tony makes it great, but I have to share mine just because of the episode that it is. Because it matters. So my might have a really good friend, and she makes these, and so she made this for me. And then on the back side, it has, of course, my logo. So yes. We take that everywhere we go. So
I love it. I love your logo. It's adorable.
Thank you. It really is.
Yes.
Oh, and you can wear, so of course I got my new shirt.
Yes.
Love it.
Together. So that's a great way to wear, raise awareness too. Just being out and about creates conversations.
Yes, it does.
It definitely does.
You'll be surprised how many people you meet who have it once you start the conversation or know somebody who has it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I bet that's what I was wondering earlier is I probably actually know somebody who has Lyme, but like who just comes up to you, hey, my name's so-and-so, by the way, I have Lyme, you know, it's like,
I have Lyme disease. Oh, okay. What?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and it goes misdiagnosed all the time. A lot of times in children, it can be, look as like, you know, even like ADHD and oppositional defiance and, you know, learning disabilities, dyslexia, all sorts of stuff. And then for adults, it can be simply labeled like fibromyalgia or ALS or that those are very MS. And it's actually Lyme. So, you know, and then all the mental illnesses. And that's what breaks my heart because, like, you know, when I can kind of detect it in someone, it's kind of a touchy subject, right? Hey, but my thing is I want them to understand you don't have to live like that. Like if it is Lyme, and it's properly treated, you know, your symptoms can start to go away. I mean, I can walk now. I can talk now. I can remember things. I can drive. I can, you know, live a life.
That's awesome.
Right? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So that's a good thing to put out there, too, is, yeah, that there is treatment. And
yeah. You're not alone.
Not alone.
You're not alone. So, and your pets, your dogs can contract Lyme too. We didn't really cover much of that. I'm not a veterinarian, but I am an active dog lover. I have
and several. Horses.
Yes.
Aw. Not the poor doggos and horsies.
They do have a vaccine for your dog. They do have a Lyme. Of course, they don't have a vaccine for us, which I just, but I guess, and I'm not, again, not a medical professional in any sense, but if we can't even diagnose it properly, how are we going to be able to create a vaccine to prevent us from having it?
That's right. Very true.
Yeah, and the first one that came out apparently was giving people Lyme disease, so that's why they stopped. They had one long time ago in the 70s 80s, I don't remember.
Wow, that's kind of like the flu vaccine.
Yeah, that like gives or the live strain and start getting the flu. Mm-hmm. But the flu goes away, so.
Yeah, yes. that may be a smart to never thought of that.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about it. I just want to do a little shout out. The alpha-gal syndrome has been found in Pennsylvania. And of course it is on the Lone Star tick is the carrier of that. And of course you can eat red meat. I mean, it will affect you for the rest of your life if you contract that. So can you imagine not ever having another cheeseburger? Like,
no.
So
that'd be awful. Oh my
right? God. We were just talking about this at breakfast or at coffee this morning. My mom's one friend is in town for us to go to the Kentucky Derby party today. And she said, does that mean I couldn't eat pork? So I had to search that because I had no idea. But yeah, pork is included in that. So that would be your beef and your pork in consumption.
And also, oh. I just was listening about something this morning on that, Sue Ann. I'm so glad you remembered to bring that up. Even like, I think like supplements might, you know, right?
Sugar. Bovine, because whatever. The ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And wow. And they're also finding out it's in more than just the tick. That's new. I don't know details, but
I don't have a whole lot of details either. I know it's on the western side of our state, so I don't know that it. So I'm active with my local extension office, and so of course they test our mosquitoes, they test our ticks. So I'm not sure that Franklin and Cumberland County, which is my primary focus of where I treat, has that yet. But it's definitely on our peripheral, so I try to stay current and up to date on any tick or mosquito information.
Yeah. That's all right. Really nice.
Yeah, ticks are dirty little bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Very informative. Yeah, this, thank okay. you, Stacey. I learned some things today.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes.
This was awesome.
Okay. So next week, Candace and I are going to be on Tales from the Crawl Space. So
oh, yeah.
we're still going to have a us episode. We're still kind of building on that. So stay tuned on that one.
Maybe you guys should do a crossover. You know how like the superhero TV series, they do that crossover? Maybe
yes.
You should do a recording that's a crossover and share it on both.
Yep. So we're going to do an episode with them, and then we're doing our own episode. And then in like a week or two later, they're coming on Pestrogen for a different topic. So it's, yeah, you know,
it's a crossover series.
Exactly. Yeah. We just can't get enough of each other, you know.
Yeah, we're going on theirs on Friday. They're celebrating Mothers in the Field, since next Sunday is Mother's Day. And then, yeah, the Friday or Saturday after that, we're hosting them for, we haven't quite just figured out what it's going to be completely topic, about, yeah. But yeah, but we're essentially figuring it as like a crossover episode. So yes. Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's going to be fun. We love Tales from a Crawl Space. If you haven't heard of them, go check them out. They're on everything.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you, Stacey and Sue Ann, for joining us. Remember to stay cute, be weird, and always go out kicking ass. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.